Dwelling on God and His wonderful creation puts our lives into perspective. Exploring the intricacies of creation helps us see the limitations of our knowledge and strength in light of God's wisdom and omnipotence. It can help silence our complaints, and it can energize our worship. This was a lesson for Job to learn, and it's a lesson for us as well. We're going to explore creation together today, beginning in Job 38. Stephen called this lesson, A Trip to the Zoo.
One of the most devastating blows to the theory of evolution was the discovery of that little spiral code book of genetic information called DNA. Charles Darwin accepted the prevailing theory of the 1800s that variations caused by the environment could be genetically inherited by the offspring. He used this theory to explain the origin of a giraffe's long neck. He said, and I quote, that long neck was the inherited effects of the increased use of parts. In other words, Darwin is saying this, giraffes would stretch their necks for the high leaves, which then resulted in longer necks being passed down to their offspring. By the way, that's the theory you're still hearing over and over again in the secular world. But the truth, and it's a truth that's being suppressed today, is that modern genetics has disproved that theory. We now know that the length of a giraffe's neck is determined by its genetic code, by its God-created DNA, not at all by stretching to reach tall limbs over millions of years. Beloved, when you believe the biblical creation account, you understand that God created every animal species to function according to their design. There can be modifications within that species, but that species is not passing down what it comes up with. This is the point of God's genetic created code. And here's the bigger point. In fact, this is the big point God is going to make to Job, that God has created us as well. We are living on a designer-made planet with designer-made bodies under the direction of our designer-creator God. You see, when God finally shows up to talk with Job, the Lord begins asking him questions. And what are they questions about? Well, the constellations, the stars, the earth, water. And now he's going to shift his focus, and he's going to take Job on a field trip to see some animals in what we could just sort of call the zoo. The Lord's going to show Job his care over creation, from the very smallest of animals to the largest. And the message he's going to send Job becomes obvious. And here it is. It's very comforting. If God can design and care for his animal creation, well, just imagine how much more he will care for mankind. Now, first, God asks Job here about the lion, beginning in verse 39 of chapter 38. Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their thicket? Well, the truth is Job probably doesn't care about the eating patterns of lions, nor does he care if they ever eat again. I remember being within a foot or two of lions while tucked inside a Jeep on an African reserve a few years ago. Those lions were massive. In fact, one of them walked by the Jeep, and his back reached the bottom of my window ledge. Even though my window was rolled up, and I can tell you it was rolled up very tightly, I could hear him purring, and it sounded like an engine idling. Well, God is reminding Job here that he has designed these lions with their hunting instincts. But God, as we'll see, is the original lion tamer. God's in control of even this massive, wild creature. Well, now here in verse 41, God asks Job about another animal. Who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God for help? Well, God wants Job to know that he cares about the ravens and their young. If a raven is cared for by God's providence, how much more will God take care of Job? See, that's the same message, by the way, Jesus preached to rather anxious people over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, when he said, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them," which is another way of saying God cares about them. But then the Lord added this in his sermon to that audience, "Are you not of more value than they? Aren't you worth more than birds?" You know, I think that's a message our world needs to hear today. You see, when the Creator God is rejected, animal life is elevated, and human life is devalued. So, today, it's illegal to crush the egg of an unborn eaglet. But you can take the life of an unborn baby without any legal penalty. You know what that is? That's a tragic reversal of God's created order, where birds are more important than people. Now, let me point out how God begins to describe a rather strange bird here in chapter 39 and verse 13. "The wings of an ostrich wave proudly, but are they the pinions and plumage of love? For she leaves her eggs to the earth and lets them be warmed on the ground, forgetting that a foot may crush them and that the wild beast may trample them." God has made her forget wisdom and given her no share in understanding. In other words, she's not the brightest bird on the planet. But the ostrich is a rather interesting bird. In fact, it's the largest living bird today. An adult weighs more than 300 pounds and stands just at 9 feet tall. It has wings, but it can't fly. Pliny, the first century Roman naturalist, was among the first to write of an ostrich ignorantly hiding its head in some bushes, thinking it was safe because it couldn't see anything. And today, we talk about people burying their head in the sand, ignoring reality. But notice here that for all its strange ways and ignorance, the ostrich is amazing to watch as it runs. God says here in verse 18, "When she rouses herself to flee, she laughs at the horse and his rider." When that ostrich takes off running, it lifts its head, it extends its small wings for balance, and takes off running at some 40 miles an hour. You see, God is taking Job to the zoo, as it were, to look at an ostrich, which is God's way of saying, "Job, look, I create things that don't seem to make much sense." You look at an ostrich and you wonder what in the world God was thinking. And that's the point. There are times in your life when you wonder, "Lord, what are you thinking? This doesn't make much sense." Well, there are chapters in your life that go under the heading of strange. In other words, it just doesn't add up. And you have to agree that God's ways are not your ways, and his thoughts, they really aren't your thoughts, as we're told in Isaiah 55, verse 8. Now, God moves on to describe another bird here in verse 27. "Is it at your command, Job, that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high, on the rock he dwells and makes his home on the rocky crag? From there he spies out the prey, his eyes behold it from far away." Job, what about the eagle? An eagle, I have learned, flying some 600 feet above your home, can watch a spider crawl across your driveway. An eagle was created with eyesight capable of seeing a fish jumping in a lake 5 miles away. You know, I have trouble seeing my computer screen 5 feet away. Now, evolutionists would say the eagle developed that eyesight because it made its nest so high up. They're denying that genetic information DNA, they're suppressing the truth that it didn't develop that over millions of years. God actually designed the eagle with such amazing eyesight because he designed it to soar so high. You see, the diversity of creation shows the diversity of God's creative ability, but it also points to accountability. You see, if God created us, well, we belong to him. And that means we answer to him. And that's how God ends this particular portion of the field trip to the zoo with Job. He says to Job here in chapter 40 and verse 2, "Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it." Well, Job responds in verse 4, "What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth." In other words, I'm going to cover my mouth and keep quiet. See, even though the Lord continues to challenge Job all the way down here to verse 14, Job realizes that he no longer has any desire at all to demand answers from God. You see, in the presence of an awesome creator, Job has found the best answer of all. The creative design, the creative care, the control of God over his animal creations points us to his amazing design and care and control over our lives to this very day. Well, with that, we're out of time. We'll head back to the zoo in our next session. And until our next wisdom journey together, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Today's lesson of the Wisdom Journey is called A Trip to the Zoo. You know, when we see creation for what it is, it motivates us to walk with God. We have no reason to worry, fear, or doubt. The God who created us also cares about us. And although we might be small compared to the universe, we have been pursued, redeemed, and loved. We have a resource to help you learn more about this. Stephen has a book called In Living Color, where he takes a closer look at the handiwork of God. Call us today at 866-48-BIBLE for information. Then join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.